For AZPM, I'm Mark McLemore, and this is Arizona Spotlight. Coming up, we'll hear about the issue of homelessness and some of the dynamic and effective help that does exist for those in need. Meet Desiree Cook, a Tucsonan who's having a positive impact on homelessness with a whole healing approach offered by her nonprofit called I Am You 360. Visit a safe space called the Sister Jose Women's Center to find out how teamwork and vigilance is helping to change women's lives for the better. And the premiere of a new 10-minute drama written by Alejandro Canelos. It's called It's Saturday, and it's about a chance encounter between two people who may have known each other before, but they're now in very different places. Those stories are next on Arizona Spotlight. For some of us, the question where to live isn't a choice of preference, but of survival. Finding a home when one currently has none is one of life's most difficult challenges. Tucson's Housing and Community Development Department says the city has an insufficient number of housing resources and is still trying to ease the housing strain caused by the pandemic. Nonprofits, charities, and non-governmental agencies are trying to pick up the slack, and there's one that's taking a unique and, you could say, holistic approach. Next, meet Desiree Cook, the founder of IMU 360, a small group that's making big positive change for those in need. Duncan Moon reports.
The office of IMU 360 looks and feels more like a home. The main room is furnished with comfortable couches and overstuffed chairs. Young people lounge and talk as they wait for an event. A lone adult moves comfortably and easily among them, smiling and interacting with them like an older sibling or a parent.
My name is Desiree Cook, and I am the founder and CEO of IMU 360.
IMU 360 is Desiree Cook's brainchild, a holistic program designed to put homeless kids on the path to success and self-sufficiency. For many of them, the cycle of homelessness and poverty begins when they age out of foster care and lose the shelter the system has provided them.
Imagine being a kid in foster care and bounced around to several homes, and then you age out, you turn 18, and there's no one there for you.
She says she brings a unique understanding to the work. When she was 17, her father died, and her grief drove her to look for comfort in drugs. Eventually, she became an addict and found herself homeless. She was arrested for drug use and incarcerated for 3 years. Because she was a single mom, her children were put into foster care. She said she had a moment of clarity while she was in prison, and when she was released in 2002, she devoted herself to becoming a productive member of the community. She says she knows only too well how hard it is for young people with little or no resources, and she knows what it will take to get them back on their feet.
I see things through a much clearer lens when it comes to creating hope-healed people, because I had to work on transforming myself to become who I am today.
She says her willingness to be honest and transparent with her clients about her past gives her credibility. They know she's walked the same path they're walking right now. Cook and IMU 360 have built a small house community with 10 450-foot square homes constructed around a quiet and secure private courtyard. Each home has a full kitchen and bathroom with modern appliances. The rent is $1 a month per square foot, $450 in total.
We take half of that each month, $225, for the next 3 years, put in escrow. And at the end of the program, they get that back as a down payment for their first starter home, partnering with other organizations that offer first-time home buyer programs.
But she says without other necessary life skills, housing is just a temporary solution, treating symptoms without addressing the causes. So she took a more holistic approach, one she refers to as whole healing. IMU 360 makes sure clients get a chance to learn these life skills. They teach interpersonal communication, how to speak to others and answer questions in job interviews, and they provide professional classes to teach the difference between purchasing necessities and impulse buying, as well as how to save, how to budget, and how to invest. One of their clients is a young man named Daniel. Daniel is 20 and has been in the program 2 years. He says, like Desiree, he came to a crossroads in his life.
I was going down a pretty messy path. I remember just waking up one day and looking at myself in the mirror and telling myself, would the little Daniel be proud of the Daniel that I'm becoming? He wouldn't like it. So that's when I changed for the better, because I wanted to be the best person that I could be.
He says he had applied to several other housing programs, but either did not hear back or was told he didn't qualify. He'd nearly given up when someone suggested IMU 360. At first he thought, what's the point? But he decided to try one more time and put in an application. A few weeks later, his phone rang.
I remember I was with my friend, unknown caller ID, and he told me, hang that up, bro, it's a scam. And he was about to hang up the call. I was like, wait, what if it's important?
On the other end was IMU 360, inviting him to come in and meet Desiree and the team. Daniel says it didn't take long for him to realize that IMU 360 and its whole healing approach was different. He caught a glimpse beyond the 3-year housing offer to a plan designed to give him the skills and confidence to get him back on his feet and end homelessness once and for all. For example, he says he was always quiet and shy, lacking confidence in his ability to speak. But Desiree taught him basic communication skills, which gave him the confidence to engage with people he didn't know. That and the other life skills he was taught opened up a new world for him, one he couldn't see before.
Yeah, we can definitely dive into that. We can also tie in how your budget impacts that portion of it too, long-term goals, because you don't want to just budget for today. You want to budget for 6 months from now, 1 year from now, and determine what your long-term goals are.
Today, the training at the IMU 360 office is on basic budgeting and how to save money out of every paycheck and how to invest those savings successfully. Daniel says these sessions have changed how he sees himself in the future. And he says the safety of a stable, inexpensive roof over his head has allowed him to work and to begin to pick up a trade. He is studying solar construction and installation and picking up electrician skills on the side.
You know, I feel myself improved and, you know, becoming the best version of myself.
Little Daniel would be happy.
He would.
Oh my God, he would.
I really want to do everything I can, because I know that now that I've been given this opportunity, I don't want it to go to waste. This is the best thing that could have ever happened in my life. So I want to do whatever I can to achieve the impossible.
Desiree Cook and IMU 360 have big plans. A second group of 10 single-unit houses is nearing completion right next door to their office. And she says they're already targeting a third site once the newest site is up and running. For Arizona Spotlight, I'm Duncan Moon.
Across all of our platforms, AZPM is spending the months of April and May looking at the issue of housing in Southern Arizona with a series called Where to Live. In our next segment, we'll hear about the extra difficulties experienced by women who are trying to survive while homeless and a special place in Tucson that's been created to help.
Sister Jose's is a local homegrown organization. Our founder is Jean Fettigan, and Jean's been a powerhouse.
Penny Buckley is the director of grants for the Sister Jose Women's Center.
Our creation story starts with Jean out one night on soup patrol. So they're at the men's shelter one night passing out soup, and Jean quite innocently asks, where do the women sleep? And she was met by silence, because there wasn't any place. And she wanted to open up a shelter for women. And 2 weeks later, they had a place downtown in a small chapel. They had a coffee pot and they had blankets, and they opened the doors at 8 p.m. and the first women came in. They would do that during the cold winter months, and then they would close. It just became so obvious to her and to those other volunteers that that was not enough. How can we help women change their lives so that they can become housed?
Nicole Hartman has been the CEO of Sister Jose Women's Center since 2023.
Unhoused women are a hidden group because they hide to keep themselves safe, especially in Pima County. Over the last few years, it's just skyrocketed. I walk into the center some mornings and I look and every chair is full and women are standing and other women are waiting to get in. It's just unbelievable, even though I know it's happening every day. You know, we're serving over 200 women a day, many days. We've had women here in their late 80s. We had an 87-year-old woman who was blind. How can a woman be on the street who can't see who's 87 years old?
Christine has been homeless for 2 weeks, but her story is common.
I had been living in a place for 5 years. The owner of my house decided to sell the duplex property. And the new owners gave everybody in those two places 28 days to get out. And because I lived from check to check with the full-time job, I made enough to pay bills. I don't have enough money to find housing now. I was sleeping 3 days in my car, 2 days in a motel room. You know what I mean? Working full-time, running out of money. I have never been homeless before this, ever in my life. Like I said, I was afraid. I was sleeping in my car. I didn't know what to do with myself. I didn't even know what I did wrong. I think to myself, sometimes it was me. But I don't do drugs. I don't drink. I work 5-6 days a week. I'm looking for a second job now. I'm trying, and I still can't find a place to live. Nobody wants to let me in because I don't got the money. I'm a 7-Eleven worker, and I was working, and a customer came in and told me, "You don't have to be sleeping in your car. You don't have to be doing all this, Christine. You work too hard." And they told me about this place here. And I came up here one morning and I seen the line and I seen the people and I cried. I was scared. You know, these women don't have to do this. They don't have to put up with us here. You know what I mean? This is a house full of women and nobody even does any chores. They do it. The people here that come and volunteer for us. We should be thankful to them. You know what I mean? Be thankful because there's nobody out there to open their hands to you when you got nobody. And they did. I had nobody and they're here for me. I'm too old for this. I know. Because I got nobody and I've never been homeless. And look at even her just smiling. See how beautiful they are?
Kevin Dahl represents Ward 3 in Pima County.
There are women's shelters. I won't tell you where they are. We want them to be safe. And there's not enough beds. We see more and more elderly. This is a new phenomenon as people's retirement and Social Security, if they have it, is a fixed amount. And as housing prices skyrocket in this amazing fashion, the elderly get the brunt of that impact.
After almost two decades of helping homeless women, Penny says the situation has changed.
I used to be able to help women find apartments that would be $350 a month. That would include utilities. That is impossible today because the vouchers now don't pay what the market value is of their rental. So why would landlords even want to do that? They could get more by trying to rent it to a person who's paying out of their pocket.
A woman who was trying to get a room at Sister Jose's shared her story. She's 73 years old and has a BA in psychology.
The cost of living has gone so high, we can't afford it. So basically, because we can't afford it, you know, we do what everybody else does. We seek shelter. I'm trying to get a room here because the HUD, especially subsidized housing, is difficult to attain.
Tia Marshall, the program director at Sister Jose's, shares some of the resources the shelter can offer.
So we currently have a 42-bed shelter where women can come in and they always start with a week-long shelter stay. They can come in on Tuesdays or Fridays. Our center opens at 9 in the morning and women can come and sign up for showers, get a hot breakfast, get emergency clothing, do their laundry, and get a lunch when they're leaving. They can stay inside throughout the morning just so that they aren't out on the street in the extreme weather. We also have afternoon, a time where the women can rest. We give them mats, they can take naps, or they can just hang out inside where it's nice and dark and quiet. We encourage them to figure out what services they need so that they can end up housed successfully. Some of the women will move past that week and be in what we call the Impact Project, which is a longer time that they can stay there, and the case managers will work with them to figure out their next steps.
Again, Penny Buckley.
This is hard work. It's really hard work. It's lots of personalities, lots of struggles that we deal with, and it can take its toll. But when we have a new shift of volunteers coming in every day, and they bring with them their compassion, all their skills, all their experiences, they show our guests that we are a community who cares about them. And again, it's those women putting out a hand to other women. And so our volunteers really help us remember our mission and remember that what we're doing is the right thing, even though it's the hard thing. But it's never so hard that we can't do it.
Judy Rafferty explains why she volunteers at Sister Jose Women's Center.
I mainly sit at the front desk and take messages for people and greet our guests when they come in and see how we can help them with a meal. I'm from a very privileged background relative to so many. And knowing that there are other women out in the streets makes me feel like I need to give back. And this is an obvious place to do that.
Again, Sister Jose's CEO, Nicole Hartman.
Our volunteers allow us to say yes to so many more women. The funding we receive from the city is really critical. We can support the women that we serve. We have to look at going from temporary housing to permanent housing. And for a lot of the people we serve, it's permanent supportive housing.
Improvements to the shelter are on the way, according to the Director of Operations, Jennifer Edwards.
Our current expansion plan is we are adding more sleeping spaces, so we're going to be adding about 13 more beds, as well as making some of our current sleeping areas larger to accommodate people who are in wheelchairs or walkers or our guests that have pets that need to keep them in kennels. On top of that, we're adding 3 more showers, including a handicap shower, as well as 2 more bathroom stalls. We got a grant from the city to cover the cost of the expansion, so we're very, very grateful for that. It is currently ahead of schedule. Yay! So we think it'll be done in about 6 weeks.
Nicole Hartman says we are overdue for change.
We need to decide that we're done having unhoused people. This can't go on anymore. The numbers can't continue to increase. We have to end homelessness, not band-aid homelessness.
While looking forward to the future of Sister Jose's, Christine is deeply grateful for what is there now.
Look at their building in there to put more women in here. Do you know how hard it is to take care of grown women? A house full of grown women? All in one room? For 3 months at a time, you know what I'm saying? We're like cats. You know what I mean? Like, and they deal with it every day, these women do. They deal with it every day. And they still come here every day with a smile. So yes, I'm blessed. I am so blessed to have met them.
For Arizona Spotlight, I am Özlem Ayşe Özgür.
That story was produced for Arizona Illustrated on PBS Channel 6. You can find all of AZPM's stories in the Where to Live series on our website, azpm.org. Have you got 10 minutes? Then we've got a story for you. And now, a new episode of the radio play series, 10-Minute Dramas.
It's Saturday by Alejandro Canelos. Character list: Violet, man on a bench. Setting: a city park. Scene 1.
Lights up. Violet walks through the park. She's carrying a large over-the-shoulder bag. A man is curled up on a bench sleeping. As Violet passes, he awakens and raises his head. She sees his face and stops. They look at each other for a moment before Violet resumes walking. When she's out of sight, the stage lights go down.
Scene 2.
Lights up. The setting is unchanged. Violet walks by the bench. The man lifts his head. Violet stops like before.
Mr. Tamba?
The man sits up.
What?
Mr. Tamba, is that you, the English teacher?
Do I know you?
You were my... You taught me English at Lakeville High, class of 2012.
The man sits up straighter.
Oh, you do look familiar. Yeah.
I'm Violet, but you might remember me as Letty. That's what everybody called me back then.
She puts a hand up to her ear.
And my hair was a different color every week.
Letty. Yeah, I think I remember you. Were you one of my better students?
I mean, I got an A. 2, actually. I had you for a whole year.
Well, then, there you have it. I didn't give out A's to just anybody. They had to be earned in my class.
I remember. You were tough, but fair.
That's right. Yeah. Tough, but fair.
So, are you doing okay? I mean, how are you? Are you retired now, or...
Oh, I'm fine. Yeah. It's so peaceful here in the morning this time of year.
Yes, it is. Well, I'd better get going. Nice to see you.
Yeah.
The man lies back down on the bench as Violet exits. Lights down.
Scene 3.
Lights up. The man is sitting upright. Violet comes by. She stops.
Hi, Mr. Tamba.
Good morning. Here you are again.
Mind if I sit here?
Go ahead.
The man scoots over. Violet sits.
Don't you have to get to work, though?
Oh, not today. It's Saturday.
Right. Saturday. Yeah. For me, every day's a Saturday.
That must be wonderful. Every day a Saturday. It's my favorite day of the week, for sure.
Mine, too.
Listen, Mr. Tamba, I came to see you again because I'm worried about you. Seems like you might be in some kind of trouble or distress, I mean.
Me? No, not at all. I'm just taking it easy for a while. Yeah, life can move so fast sometimes.
Well, do you have a place to stay?
I've got a few things in the works. Yeah, lots of options. I'm between spots right now, but it keeps me on my toes. I don't like being tied down. Yeah.
Violet reaches into her purse. She pulls out a thermos and a brown bag.
I brought you some breakfast if you're hungry. You like coffee and an egg sandwich.
Thank you.
He accepts the food and drink with both hands.
I like coffee. Yeah, who doesn't like coffee?
I know, right?
Violet smiles.
You'll be happy to know you are one of my all-time favorite teachers.
Really?
Yes. I even told my husband about you. About how on Fridays we played that trivia game for extra credit, the one on current events.
Oh, that! All the kids used to really like that. Yeah.
He looks at what he's holding.
Oh, go ahead. I don't mind. I already ate.
No, I'm saving it for later. Unless you need this back.
He holds up the thermos.
No, 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 no. You can borrow it. It's no biggie. Just, you know.
Thank you. Yeah.
Can I help you with anything else? It looks like you might need some socks.
The man slides his feet under the bench and out of sight.
I could use a loan.
You mean...
For a little while only, temporarily. I'll pay it right back once I get a few things done I've been working on. Right around the bend, it's all coming together. Yeah.
Mr. Tamba, I'd like to help, but I'd have to talk to my
husband. Oh, no, 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 not a lot. You know, whatever you could spare. Anything.
Well, let me see.
Violet digs through her purse and pulls out a bill.
Would this help? I'll give it to you, and you don't have to worry about paying it back. You are such a fantastic teacher. It's the least I can do.
The man looks at the money.
I'll pay you back, all right? Yeah, with interest, and before you know it. I don't even really need it, but since you're offering...
He reaches out with a shaky hand.
Are you sure you're okay, Mr. Tomba? Is there someone I can call? A relative? A friend?
No. I mean, yeah, I'm fine, and there's nobody to call. They're all gone.
Your friends and family are all gone? Where are they? Oh, do you mean they've all passed away?
I mean, I don't have anyone to call. That's all. Yeah. Nothing serious.
All right. Tomorrow's Sunday, and I won't be able to come by, but I'll see you Monday, same time?
Sure. I'd like that. Shucks. I'll be ready to pay you back by then.
He stuffs the money into his pocket.
Yeah.
I'll bring you some socks and another thermos full of coffee, and I'll trade it for the empty one, okay?
Okay.
The man looks around, seemingly distracted. Violet gets up, waves, and walks back the way she came. The man rises and limps in the opposite direction. Lights down.
Scene 4.
Lights up. The bench is empty. Violet goes to it. She puts a hand at her brow and looks around.
Mr. Tomba?
She spins a slow circle.
Mr. Tomba, I've got those socks for you. And fresh coffee.
She holds up a thermos. She waits. She finally gives up and exits. Lights go down on the empty bench.
Scene 5.
Lights up. The bench is still empty. Violet walks by on her usual route. She stops and calls for Mr. Tomba.
Mr. Tomba!
She waits. She calls again.
Mr. Tomba?
She exits. Lights down.
Scene 6.
Lights up. The bench is still empty. This time, when Violet reaches it, she sits.
Mr. Tomba, it's Saturday, our favorite day of the week. I wish you'd come back so I can give these to you.
She pats her purse.
I'll just wait here for a few minutes, all right?
The lights go down on Violet waiting.
Scene 7.
Lights up. The man is back on the bench, curled up, sleeping. Violet enters. She walks by and stops. She appears to want to sit down, but there's not enough room. She opens her purse and reaches in for something, and the man lifts his head.
Who?
Mr. Tomba, you're here. I'm so glad to see you.
The man sits up and rubs his eyes.
It's you. I remember you. Yeah.
I don't have any coffee, but I've got those socks right here.
She hands him a pair of socks, which he accepts.
Why are you helping me?
You taught me English, remember? You were my all-time favorite.
Your English teacher. Yeah. Well, I'm not teaching anybody anything anymore.
Wait, I wish there was something else I could do to help you. Are you sure there's nobody I can call?
I'll tell you what you can do. You can let me be. Yeah. I appreciate your kindness, but you've got the wrong person. My name isn't Tomba, and I've never been an English teacher. Got that? You're helping the wrong man. So run along now and let me go back to my life.
I know you're not Mr. Tomba. I found out... It looks like Mr. Tomba is still teaching, farther upstate.
Good for him. Yeah. Now you can go see him.
I thought you were him, though. I really did. You look so much like him, but I wasn't sure until we talked about that trivia game, which Mr. Tomba didn't play.
So you lied to me. And you tricked me. Yeah.
I wanted to be sure.
I'm not him. I'm no teacher. I'm just another guy in the park.
Violet sits down.
What's your name?
My name? Why won't you just leave me alone? Why are you still here if you know I'm not him?
I don't know. I still want to help you, I guess.
Thanks for these.
He holds up the socks, then puts them in his lap and folds his hands.
If you want to give me some money, go ahead. That would help a lot. Yeah. The more you can spare, the better.
I can't do that. As much as I'd like to, I can't afford it. I don't have enough.
Okay, then. Yeah. If you change your mind, you know where to find me.
He lies back down with his knees pulled up to his chest.
I wish there was some other way I could help.
My name is David.
David. That's Mr. Thomas' name. His first name is David. What an amazing coincidence.
David doesn't respond.
It's good to formally meet you, David. And I'm sorry I called you the wrong name for so long.
It's all right. Your teacher sounds like a fine man. Yeah.
The man closes his eyes.
See you back here Monday, then? Saturday, I mean. For a visit, I'll bring more coffee and another pair of socks. Okay? Sound good?
She waits.
David?
She gently jostles one of his legs. He readjusts himself on the bench, but stays asleep.
All right, then. Saturday it is.
Violet rises and walks off. Lights go down on the sleeping man.
The end.
You just heard Gretchen Wurges as Violet, and David Alexander Johnson as Man on a Bench. Stage direction by Alejandro Canelos, directed by Betsy Cruz Craig. It's Saturday was written and adapted for radio by Alejandro Canelos from his book, 10-Minute Dramas for the Stage. Listen for more coming soon to Arizona Spotlight, and thank you for listening. This show is a production of AZPM. The music is by Calexico. The production engineer is Jim Blackwood. Production assistance by Alicia Vasquez. I'm producer and host Mark McLemore.
Arizona Public Media's original programming is made possible in part by the Community Service Grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.